Well, it is a pleasure to be invited to speak here again. Most of you will know, but some of you may not, that I was the minister here for 7 years. It was a pleasure and a privilege to be here, and then I went away for 3 years, and you have found the most wonderful co-ministers to serve you, and that's double the pleasure for me, too, because I have two colleagues instead of one. But I need to start with an apology. My sermon title was quite unclear, and that is a no-no for Unitarians and Universalists. We are a people who demand, our curiosity that is, demands clarity, not obfuscation. I mean, what is an LQ anyway? Is it a light quota? Or is it a literary query? Or maybe a love question? Well, it is none of these things. You think I was afraid that if I told you the truth out front, it would seem so mundane that no one would want to hear what my topic was about. Well, here's what it's about. LQ stands for laughter quotient, but it could just as well have stood for listening quotient or love quotient, and I will talk more about that later. What I want to talk about is something actually fairly serious. It's about how we learn to laugh at ourselves. In my experience, this is not as easy as it may sound. I have stolen part of this idea from my colleague Fred Cappuccino. He and Bonnie have done all those wonderful child haven places in India, Bangladesh, Nepal, and many other places. And other parts of this idea come from my deep concern that it is extremely easy for us to slip into, consciously or unconsciously, feelings of righteousness, arrogance, and superiority. When we are talking, and hopefully listening as well, so we're talking to or listening to others about our own religion or about others' religion. Now, mind you, I do find it easy to talk about some things, particularly if it's in an area that isn't really that important to me. For example, being able to admit that I often have other people come with me when I am shopping for clothes because I don't have a very good sense of style of what suits me. So that means that if somebody comments to me, "My goodness, you're dressed very well, not like you were last week," I can acknowledge that this is correct. I really need help, and I don't care that much if they laugh at me, and I just laugh right along. But when it is a matter of consequence to my inner core of being, my inner core of meaning, it can be quite difficult to admit, even privately, that parts of what I ought to do and ought to say are, to put it mildly, less than stellar, and that I need to learn to laugh at myself until I willingly adjust or adapt my thoughts and behavior so that they truly represent, in words and in action. Thank you, Pat. Still a teeny bit, but not too much. Well, there it is. Anyway, I'll stop projecting. In any case, the final goal is to be the best person I can truly be. And truthfully, I think our ministers are already doing a great job of helping us to laugh at ourselves. But hopefully, this is one regard where you can't have too much of a good thing. So each voice, Reverend Shauna's, Reverend Melora's, and my own, will bring quite a different understanding of this concern to the table. I remember, for example, when I was living in and working in Edmonton, that one day a knock came to the door of my home, and I opened it, and there stood a woman who said she was a Jehovah's Witness and that she'd like to talk to me about her religion. Well, inside, I was rolling my eyes. But having been brought up to be polite, I said, "Well, thank you, but I'm very happy in my own faith, and I hope you are too. How long have you been a Jehovah's Witness?" Doesn't that sound polite? She said, "Not that long. I used to belong to part of another faith." I said, "So did I." Well, we stared at each other for several seconds, and then for about 10 minutes, We shared where we had come from religiously and why we were pleased with where we had ended up. There was no proselytizing either way. Then we said it was good to have met, and I shut the door. I thought to myself, phew, I almost didn't get to know her at all by starting out with that interior thinking and snickering. But that example really doesn't explain my point well enough. Let me start again, both in a silly and a serious way. First of all, silly. Now, many of you, I'm sure, will have heard of George Carlin, who is was an American stand-up comedian, social critic, philosopher, and satirist, among other things. He died about 5 years ago. One of his poems may help to explain why we English-speaking people have such a hard time even knowing what needs to be laughed at for ourselves. Here is a part of that poem. It's called The English Plural. Some of you may have heard it. We'll begin with a box, and the plural is boxes. But the plural of ox becomes oxen, not oxes. One fowl is a goose, and two are called geese. Yet the plural of moose should never be meese. You may find a lone mouse or a nest full of mice. Yet the plural of house is houses, not heice. We speak of a brother and also of brethren. But though we say mother, we never say methren. Then the masculine pronouns are he, his, and him. But imagine the feminine, she, shiz, and shim. Let's face it, English is a crazy language. There's no egg in eggplant or ham in hamburger. Neither apple or pine in pineapple. English muffins weren't invented in England. We take English for granted, but if we explore its paradoxes, we find that quicksand can work slowly, boxing rings are square, and a guinea pig is neither from Guinea nor a pig. And why is it that writers write, but fingers don't thing? Grocers don't gross, and hammers don't ham. If teachers taught, why don't preachers prot? If a vegetarian eats vegetables, what does a humanitarian eat? Sometimes I think all the folks who grew up speaking English should be committed to an asylum for the verbally insane. What other language, for example, do people recite at a play and play at a recital? We ship by truck but send cargo by ship. We have noses that run and feet that smell. We park. We park in a driveway and we drive in a parkway. And how can a slim chance and a fat chance be the same thing while a wise man and a wise guy are opposites? You have to marvel at the unique lunacy of a language in which your house can burn up while it burns down, and in which you fill in a form by filling it out, and in which an alarm goes off by going on. And in closing, if father is pop, how come mother's not mop? Well, no wonder, from a silly point of view, that people who think and speak in English, in the singular as well as in the plural, have difficulty knowing what needs to be laughed at. But that's just silly stuff. What about looking at this from the serious side? First of all, I believe learning to laugh at ourselves is a very spiritual and religious matter. It is because every bona fide religion sings a particular tune that is heard by those who are on the same wavelength. I call this spiritual. Every bona fide religion binds its people together, not only from similar beliefs and actions, but also from having similar values. And Unitarian Universalism is no different. That is, it is completely distinct from other religious perspectives. According to a study that was done about quite a while ago, more than 30 years ago, it links particular values with one's religious beliefs and attitudes, and when tested against a variety of Christian groups, both Roman Catholic and Protestant, and various Jewish groups and others claiming no affiliation at all, it is determined that Unitarian Universalists are very specifically unique. Now, it was conducted 37 years ago, but I doubt it would come out much differently if it was done today, except that there would probably have a wider base. Instead of just Catholics and Protestants and Jews, it would also have Buddhists, Muslims, Hindus, and Baha'is, etc., included in the mix. Well, what are the significant values of Unitarian Universalists? These are the things that we are ranked the highest at. There's two various types. One is what are called terminal values, which are how we want to be as human beings, desired ends of existence. We want self-respect, wisdom, inner harmony, mature love, a world of beauty, and an exciting life. That particular clump of values is what makes Unitarians Unitarians. It's different for people from other faiths. And instrumental values, that's how we choose to act that demonstrates who we are. And those values are loving, independent, intellectual, imaginative, and logical. And the researcher says, which taken together show an orientation towards competence rather than morality. And I put down, ouch. But... And it stresses personal realization, individual self-fulfillment, and self-actualization. And these are, I think, all wonderful qualities. And yet they do show, I believe, a strong tendency towards self rather than others, don't you think? I think we need to continually remind ourselves to be able to push past our own self-interests and out to who we are as a group, and what we can do to help others. Yes, we are specifically unique, but not better than other religious perspectives. And what better way to try to get deeper into ourselves as both a group and individually than with humor? When I was doing the research to put this sermon together, I found two quotes that I had not heard before and that just went bing to me. First was from a person, Ethel Barrymore, one of the acting Barrymores, who said, "You grow up the day you have your first real laugh at yourself." Whoa. I know I want to be considered growing up, so I'd better remember to keep looking for humility and keep practicing. And the second quote is even stranger to me and wonderful. Common sense and a sense of humor are the same thing, moving at different speeds. A sense of humor is just common sense dancing. I'd never heard that before. A sense of humor is just common sense dancing. But it resonates. It somehow takes some of the sting out of learning how to laugh at myself and suggests that it can even be fun. I know I prefer not to end up like Faye Mogensen's character, Casa Kenna Kanina, Genanina, I think it is, sorry, in that his pride kept warping his possibilities. And I don't want to be afraid that if I look back at my life that I will see that I did not laugh fully and well at those parts of myself that needed adjusting. Laughing at oneself ought to be something that lightens you up at the same time that it deepens your spirit and encourages you to pay more attention. Pay attention to that still small voice within, that still small voice within that sometimes represents all that is larger than yourself. Pay attention to the road of life on which you are walking. Is it now a little easier or has it become just a bit more difficult? Let me practice with you now, and I invite you to be thinking of areas of yourself that might need just a little tweaking. So here's the first question I ask myself. Can I laugh a little at how suspicious I sometimes feel when I observe somebody looking at me with a frown? Maybe they are just trying to remember if they know me. or maybe their glasses aren't fitting too well and are about to fall off. Or maybe they didn't understand what I just said in the last sentence because I left out a couple of major words. Ha, 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 ha. Well, that was supposed to be an example of positive paranoia. In other words, thinking, that person's looking at me, but oh, they're thinking good thoughts about me. That's it. Or how about this one? Is that person in the back thinking deeply about what I'm saying, or is he sleeping? Was that a snort? This actually happened to me. Was that a snort I heard? Or was somebody taking umbrage? Or was it the coffee maker going through its final cycle? Am I really as self-centered as I think I'm sounding? Do you know, I've just realized that I left the car running outside. Well, at least it's not running away. It's just running out of gas. Now, the reason I'm able to laugh at that one is because I actually did that when I was the minister in Las Vegas. And one of the administrator's jobs at the church was to check the car after I had arrived to see if I... And I'm proud to say that it only happened 3 times. So, I mean, that really did happen. And so it's a bit of embarrassing information you now have, but I have survived it. I mean, I'm still standing here. And hopefully laughing at myself will help me to remember to check the car before I get out of it, or else buy a car that isn't so darn quiet. I said when I began this sermon that I would talk a bit about the laughter quotient and how it could just as well have stood for listening quotient or love quotient. And this is because being willing to laugh at oneself necessarily means listening carefully to yourself and to others. And it also must involve love. Love of yourself, but in a new way, a way that can appreciate your own good qualities and your potential, and have a committed intention to work on what can still be improved. Let friends help you. And look at a stranger here today, or someone who is a stranger to you. It may be somebody you met last week and you've forgotten, but it's somebody that is a stranger to you. Look at a stranger today and see if that person might be someone waiting to be a friend, to be your friend. And in any case, may spirit, heart, and mind be very attentive as you decide.